not giving us Sangha. So this point we should remember. So Brahmaji becomes perplexed, but then he resigns. Lipyate nasapapena. 5.10 tells us, one who resigns, the sinful activities of pap no longer affect us. They don't affect us. And what becomes of us? Padma Patra Mivambasaha, Japanese gardens. Padma Patra Mivambasaha. Padma means lotus. Just like the lotus flower grows in muddy groves. And the lotus flower's specialty is that if you put water on it, the drop of water never stays on the lotus flower. It has to go away. Then the same way, we must live our life the way Brahmaji is going to live. In such a way that our concentration is only on that transcendental living being, Krishna. Then we are resigning. So, Prabhupada says, he retired from such searching and he came back to the top of the lotus. And now what did he do? This is the point that is very important to us for devotional service. When we are perplexed, when we are in difficulty in material life, the first thing to do is we retire from our mental speculations. Stop these mental speculations. Don't waste time with the mind. Instead, what did he do? Thus, controlling all his objectives, he concentrated his mind on that Supreme Lord. That's what he did. He controlled his objectives. It's a very interesting phrase, isn't it? To control objectives. How do you control objectives? Everyone has an objective in life. Most of us have an objective. Our objective today in Bhagavatam is to hopefully become better devotees. But our mind also have other objectives. I want to go for holiday. I want to get married. I want to have a lot of money. You know. Or sometimes the mind says, I will be a devotee. But first let me work very hard, save lots of money. I'll build a few temples after that. Or we say, no, Krishna, I'm definitely a devotee. I'm highly devoted to you. But let's settle all these material affairs and then I will come to you. There is no such thing as a settlement of material affairs. Material affairs will settle you. Huh? You know, gangster talk, I'll settle you. Material affairs will settle us in the form of death. So we cannot wait till that day. Brahmaji is smart. He controlled his objectives. Control his objectives simply means, Prabhupada says in a conversation, this point was brought up to Prabhupada. What is the meaning of controlling objective? Prabhupada said simple, control your senses. One who controls his senses controls the objectives of his life. And that's what Brahmaji did. He controlled his senses, he concentrated, and Prabhupada writes in the purport, he entered into a state of samadhi. Samadhi means he merely concentrated his mind on that which was superior to him. How beautiful. And Prabhupada writes, even if you don't know who Krishna is, whether he's impersonal, whether he's localized, whether he's personal, as long as you know that there is someone higher than you and you accept that he is supreme, that is the start of devotional service. That's why Prabhu's Mataji is, before we speak about all the eternal pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, we have not even come to the point where we understand two things from Bhagavad Gita. One, who is Krishna? And two, who are we? These two things we are still struggling with. Because if we really understood this, every day we will be in bliss. Because we know Krishna is our Supreme Lord. He's always taking care of us. Any problems, no problems. It's Krishna's hand. But we don't behave that way. Therefore, we don't understand who Krishna is. And if we understand that everything in this world is impermanent and temporary, then why are we running after the things which are temporary, thinking them to be permanent? Why? Why? Sometimes when we have big sanghas and congregations, we become very attached to the bricks. We become attached to the locality. Sometimes devotees fight over service. Prabhu, this is my service, man. You know, don't interfere. Don't come into my domain. But the service is eternal. But you are temporary. So how can that which is temporary grab that which is eternal and then become eternal? You will die. Service continues. This point we forget. But Brahmaji is smart. He concentrated on Krishna. And then Prabhupada writes, to seize this personal endeavor and concentrate on the supreme cause of all causes, that is the start of self-surrender. And self-surrender is as good as devotional service. This is the background to this verse. Why is this important? so that now we can really appreciate the wonderful prayers. Because at the end, now Brahmaji sat down and performed tapas. Tapas means what you're doing now. You're performing penance. You're sitting down wondering when is he going to finish Bhagavatam. There is some form of tapas. And sitting down quietly, you know, for 1 hour is not possible by human calculations normally. But Bhagavatam somehow keeps us there, you know. Plus that and etiquette and the prasadam that comes after that. All these are incentives. But Brahmaji said for 100 years. In the third canto, 9th chapter, 100 years are used. In the second canto, 9th chapter, he sits for 1,000 celestial years of the devatas. You work out the mathematics. I'm confused. But I do know that that's a very long time. He took a lot of patience, P. A lot of penance, P. And a lot of perseverance, P. 3 P's we must take back today, apart from the last P, prasadam. There is penance, there is perseverance, and there is patience. If you want to do devotional service, you must first become patient. Nothing happens overnight. But don't become so patient until you die. That is where you have to become persevering. You must push. If today I'm chanting one round, tomorrow I pray to Krishna, push, chant another round. If today I'm waking up for Mangala Arati once a week, in May, I must wake up for Mangala Arati twice a week. Like that. But your goal should not be too long. I told you, I know a devotee who once told me that my aim in this life is to chant 4 rounds. In next life, another 4 rounds. In my third life, another 4 rounds. And finally, Prabhu, after 4 lives, my target is 16 rounds. I mean, that's a nice objective, you know, but we may not have that luxury. So we should be very careful. The word tapa means we must have austerity. I remember my Guru Maharaj telling some devotees, they came to Dwarka, and the moment they came, they started asking my God brother Vaishnava Prabhu, Prabhu, no hot water, Prabhu, the tap is not running, Prabhu, the bed is a bit hard. And Maharaj happened to overhear it. And he said, this is not a luxury hotel. And devotional service doesn't mean you sit back and perform devotional service with AC. Everything is nice and cool. People are serving you. Chanting is very sweet. No. That is not devotional service. Devotional service means be prepared for austerity. If the tap doesn't work, doesn't matter. Why you make noise? It is Krishna's hand. You just do tapa. Brahmaji had no facilities for tapa. No facilities. He didn't have Prabhupada's readings. He didn't have Bhagavatam in published form. He didn't have Sadhu Sangha. Nothing. I don't think he had a mridanga. He had no kartals. He had no harmonium. No mic system. And nobody cooked prasadam for him. So what was he going to do? He just had to endure. But in his endurance came his purity. So please, Prabhu's Matajis, please, if a congregation is going to grow, it must become simple. Simple means we live as if there is nothing there. I like Nam Sankirtan Prabhu's house because he told me he's not going to put a single piece of furniture. And that is perfect. What is wrong with sitting on the floor? Nothing. And even if we have a furniture at home, it doesn't mean when we go for yatra, there must be a furniture following us also. We must learn when to be ready for anything. That is very important. So now we look at the verse. If you look at the verse, Prabhu's Matajis, there are only 4 points. But the 4 points are the most important points for us to take back. You look at the first line of the translation. And the first line of the translation, how does Brahmaji start? He says, let the Supreme Lord be merciful towards me. That's it. He starts this prayer by saying, please be merciful to me. And this is the starting point of all devotional service. Brahmaji realized at the end of the day that even though he traveled 70% by dint of his personal endeavor, he would never be able to know Krishna fully until Krishna's mercy comes in the balance 30%. That is mercy. Prabhupada was asked once, you know, how do you define mercy of the Lord? And Prabhupada said, mercy of the Lord means causeless mercy. Causeless mercy means Krishna doesn't need a reason to be merciful. It's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? Very often we want to be merciful, but we want to know all the facts. Then we should be merciful to him. But Prabhupada describes Krishna as, it doesn't matter what is the reason, but I'm ready to be merciful. And when the devotees asked Prabhupada further, Prabhupada answered by saying, it means that open door policy is there. Open door policy is there means Krishna never closes the door on anyone. The sun never sets, so to speak. That is mercy of the Lord. So we should remember that point. The first point of mercy is that it is limitless and the door is never closed. The second point of mercy we must understand is that without Krishna's mercy, no endeavor by a living entity can ever succeed. All success is not due to good karma. All success, especially in the spiritual world, is only due to mercy of the Lord. Very often, we speak about this point of perseverance and penance. That is a very important arm of devotional service. But Prabhupada says in the purports that perseverance and penance is like the left hand, but the right hand is mercy. But what is the relationship between both is very important. Those who persevere and perform nice austerity, who are willing to sacrifice their lives for Krishna, those who work in such a way that their concentration is always on Krishna, their objective is about Krishna, then the mercy of the Lord is more attracted to such persons. I'll give you the example that Prabhupada gives in the purports. If you have rain, rain is falling across land. But if the land at one point is barren, no matter how much rain is coming there, will the crops grow? Because the land is barren. But on this side, if the land is filled and fertile because it has persevered and there has been tapas and there has been patience and there has been practice, the farmers have done their homework, so to speak, then when the rains come, don't you think that you will have a bumper crop? That is the same thing. Krishna is the rains. We should never say, Krishna, you're giving more mercy to that Prabhu and less to me. Never. The principle is open door policy. Door is open to everyone. Rain is falling on everyone. But what have you done about your ground? About your heart? Have you practiced enough principles of devotional service to make your heart soft enough for the rains to make it fertile and for the seed of devotional service to grow? If you have, then you will succeed. See, this is the relationship between mercy and endeavor. Krishna became so attracted to Brahmaji's perseverance that he gave him full mercy, full potential to create. And this is an important point for us. We must never forget. I think it is it's 264 Bhagavad Gita. What's that verse, Prabhuji? How does it start? Raga Dvesha Vimukta Ischu Vishayan Indriyais Charan. Then Atma Vashain Videyatma Prasadam Adigachati. Very important verse. In that verse, that's the only verse in Bhagavad Gita which tells us how the complete mercy of the Lord is obtained. And it states very nicely that the complete mercy of the Lord is obtained by one who perfectly controls his senses. Controlling senses is what Brahmaji did. He controlled his objective. After all the kichari that was in his head, you know, as he was running here and there all over the place, it was all masala. But then finally he decided, let's make Krishna my all in all. Then he concentrated. This is very important. So that's why one who controls his senses or tries to control his senses, the mercy of the Lord is there. The second point that attracts Krishna's mercy is what? Attachment, aversion. No attachment and no aversion. This is important. Sometimes in devotional service, we like something, but we hate something else. This is not our business. Our business is not to like some devotees and hate other devotees. No. Our business is, as long as that devotee and us are talking Bhagavatam, we are best friends with the devotee. That is all we want. Brahmaji did not like what he was going to do. Neither did he hate what he was going to do. He was just concerned about doing it. That's the difference. So we may be given a service we don't like, Prabhus and Mataji's. But the moment we say, oh Prabhu, I'm averse to this service, then how do you expect to get Krishna's mercy? 264 is very clear. That means we haven't read our Bhagavad Gita. See why knowledge is so important? Very often we find devotees coming to us and say, Prabhu, I don't like to do this service with this devotee. I want to do service with that devotee. This is attachment and aversion. Or I don't want to do this service, Prabhuji. I prefer doing that service. Whatever your reason may be, the service is given to you by Jagannath through the agency of a devotee. Because we don't see Jagannath in that devotee standing before us, we start to express our innermost thoughts of attachment and aversion. And when that happens, you know what happens? In the end, my experience is these devotees don't get any service in the end. They don't. Gradually, with all their mental speculative arguments, they give reasons every time why I should not be at the program. Oh, I'm very busy, I can't come. Oh, I can't do that, I can't do this. In the end, we sit down on our own and we do what we call Ekanta Bhakti. Ekanta Bhakti is very dangerous bhakti. Yeah? Ekanta Bhakti means that you sit down like that gentleman devotee in Mayapur, you know, in Lilamrita. Suddenly a group of devotees came to Prabhupada one day and said, Prabhupada, right in the middle of the field, there is one great devotee sitting down in a small hut and he's chanting 64 rounds every day. And Prabhupada just asked only one question. When is he going to fall down? That's the question he asked. It's not in Lilamrita, it's in Shruta Kirti Prabhu's point. Yes. In that point, Prabhupada asked this question, when is he going to fall down? And the devotees were shocked, 64 rounds. Prabhupada said, he won't last. He's sitting alone. This is for fame. This is for name. But it is not for the devotional service and pleasure of Krishna. So please be very careful about attachment and aversion. The moment I hear devotees saying, Prabhu, I like to do this, I'm reminded of 264. Oh. Instead, when devotees come and say, Prabhu, tell me what service to do. And then you give them service, thank you very much. Sometimes it's a little bit of a cover story. Prabhu, tell me what service. I'm ready for anything. Prabhu, you do this. Prabhu, this one I don't like. Well, we go back to 264 again. You see, this is our problem. This is our problem. And you know where this comes from? Maharaj told me one point. This comes from only one point. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. There are one or two devotees, disciples of Maharaj, whom during initiation, he said this point to them specifically. I remember in Australia, I remember in Britain, I remember even in Singapore, I can't remember now. But Maharaj made this point. At the end of giving the name, he told the devotees, don't be lazy. And when later, I sat with him running through the list, Maharaj looked at the devotees' names or devotees' names, and every time he remarked the same thing. He said, this devotee has the propensity to just give excuses and not do service. And I'm praying for this devotee that he or she will stop this propensity. Because until they stop this, they will go mental. And that's what happened to Brahma for a while when he did not control his objectives. Isn't it so? You see the point? It's a very important point. That is where we have faith. One must have faith in the mercy of Krishna. And Brahmaji had full faith. And that is why for Brahma, it was so important to have mercy. And Brahma understood one point, which also we must take to heart. Nahi asya karhichit rajan puman veda vidit sitam yad vijitnasaya yuktaha muyanti kavayopihi. In the first canto, 9th chapter, I think 14th or 15th verse, Bhishma Dev gives this nice advice to the Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj. He says, my dear Yudhishthira Maharaj, don't be perplexed by the outcome of the Mahabharata war. Don't be confused because of your difficulty now. Why? Because nobody can know the plan of Krishna. Great philosophers are doing tapas for millions of years and they don't know what Krishna's plan is. How can you know what Krishna's plan is? So don't become muyanti. Every time you speculate, Prabhus, you become confused. When you become confused, it means you are not attracting the mercy of the Lord because you don't have faith in His mercy. Have faith. When something which is beyond your understanding is there, then that is Krishna. That is what Brahmaji came to the conclusion. He understood that point that I'm in darkness. Now I can only turn to Krishna. That's supreme. And he heard Tapa and he worked very hard. And because he worked very hard, Bhagavatam then tells us at the end of it, Krishna gave him the understanding to come to him. And that's why all these beautiful prayers are there by Brahmaji. This understanding comes from 10 of Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Yesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam yenamam upayantite. Those who are devoted to Krishna. Brahmaji was devoted to Krishna. So Krishna gave him full understanding. So if you are perplexed, what should we do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if we are still perplexed, what should we do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we become even more perplexed, what should we do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Like that, isn't it good to be perplexed? How many times you are forced to chant because you're perplexed? It's very good. So we don't see bad. We see good. We see good. That's what Brahmaji did. So this is the point of mercy. And just to conclude the point of mercy, the Lord confirms at the end of all these prayers, after Brahmaji has finished praying, what does Krishna do? Krishna appears before him and he tells, in 2.9, in 2nd canto, 9th chapter, which will be coming to that point, Krishna finally appears before Brahmaji, isn't it? And then when he appears before Brahmaji, what does he do? He shakes hands with Brahmaji. Do you know that? Krishna actually shakes hands. That's why when Europeans tell us, you know, that shaking hands is part of Western culture, we say, I'm sorry, Haribol. Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 9th chapter, has already staked claim that shaking hands is part of Vedic culture. Huh? Krishna is international. He's a bit Western, he's a bit Indian, he's everything. That's why sometimes he shakes hands with devotees. Can you imagine? After so much prayers, you fall at the feet of Krishna, you stand up, he shakes your hand. That's how loving and affectionate Krishna is. He doesn't give you the usual form of blessings, the rays are coming out from his hands. This is Mayavadi philosophy, you know. Or rays coming out from his head, going into your head. Nothing. Krishna is very practical. You stand up, he stands up. Haribol, Haribol, shake hands. That's it. This is the greatness of Krishna. And this is what he did in 3rd canto also. The moment Brahmaji finished, he could not hear Krishna. He didn't hear any response. So what happens? Naturally, he became a bit depressed, you know. After you do a lot of devotional service, austerity, naturally there is some expectation. Krishna, at least you should appear. I worked very hard. But when he didn't come, he became depressed. And depression is not unknown to us in the material world, isn't it? Frankly speaking, today the real disease of our age is depression. My Guru Maharaj always said, this bhakti movement is meant for those who are in depression. Maharaj told me, you know, all my disciples are all mental cases. He said, I am the guru of all the rejects. He told us one time, you know, that all of you are so bad in your devotional service that no other guru in ISKCON will ever even accept you. Just somehow, you know, I'm just sitting here and we are having a relationship. That's how mental we really are. So, factually speaking, we are always depressed. So, in 3.9.29, Brahmaji is told by Krishna. Finally, Krishna appears before Brahma. And he says, oh, depth of Vedic wisdom. Huh? How nicely he's describing Brahmaji. You are full of Vedic wisdom and you're very deep. Actually, Brahmaji was totally confused. But this is Krishna. Krishna sees good even in confusion. And he praised. He's always praising. That's why devotees don't criticize. We praise. What is wrong in praising? What do we lose? How much money do we spend when you praise and encourage? What is wrong in encouraging someone? Just a little pat on the back and say, Prabhu, this is very nice. Will go a long way, Prabhus and Matajis, for that devotee. Instead of saying, Prabhu, this is very nice, but this is not good, that is not bad. No. We should just say that and full stop. Maharaj told me, if you have nothing better to say, Devaki, don't say it. If you have something good to say, please loudly broadcast it. That is Vaishnava. So then Brahmaji was told, Brahma, you are very deep in Vedic wisdom. Therefore, don't become depressed. Don't become anxious. How nice. Like a father, you know. Don't be depressed. Don't be anxious. Whatever that you want. What did Brahma want? Don't forget his objective here. What was his objective? His objective was to get the knowledge and the capacity to do his job. His job was to create. So he wanted to do that for the pleasure of Krishna. And he felt that he was not doing justice to Krishna. So Krishna tells him, don't be depressed. Whatever that you want has already been granted before. Such a nice point. We don't have time to go through each verse, you know, in Sanskrit. But this point, whatever that you want and you are seeking from me, has been granted before. There are two levels to that. One is the factual level. That which is being granted now, the power of creation, was given in 2nd Canto, 9th chapter. In a previous millennium, Brahmaji came out confused also. Every time we are born, we are also confused. And every time we are confused, Krishna is still very patient as a father to again bring us back to him. So in that way, he's telling him, don't worry, whatever you want is there. But the deeper point that Guru Maharaj brought up on this point is that what has been given before, means that that which you're asking for is actually bhakti. What you're asking for now is devotional service. A doctor, a lawyer, if we are devotees, whatever activity we do also becomes bhakti. But we should not forget that that the success of that activity is coming from Krishna. And Krishna says, whatever has been given to you now, going to be given, has been given before, meaning to say, this knowledge of devotional service is already in the heart. It is in the heart. It doesn't need to be obtained elsewhere. It is in the heart. All we have to do is Shrinavade Shuddhe Chitta Karoe Udoya. That's all. We have to revive this. How? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And then he ends by saying another verse, which really we should take back on mercy. He says, please you remember one thing. Whatever process, whatever great prayers that you have been chanting, Brahmaji has chanted all these prayers that you chanted now, which have been describing my glories. Whatever penances, tapas that you took after hearing tapa, tapa. Okay, you work very hard for tapas, you work very hard for prayers. And whatever firm faith, nishtha, whatever faith that you have now in me. Remember I told you the point of mercy and faith, they are related. So here Krishna confirms that. He says the three things that a devotee has. What does a devotee have? He only has three assets. He has the prayers that he keeps in his heart and he chants to glorify Krishna. He has his austerity, the penance, his sadhana. And finally, he has his faith, which is firm. And Brahmaji is told by Krishna, please know one thing. All these three that you have, they are all nothing but my mercy. Amazing point. That means Brahmaji has nothing. That means whatever great pride we may have, Prabhu, I'm making a Mangalati every day. You know, Prabhu, I know the whole 15 chapter, 12 chapter. You know, I know all these prayers and everything. I know this, I know that, I know this. We should read 3938. Because there it's a very humbling experience. All the prayers that you know, Brahma, sorry, yeah, it's my mercy. All your tapas that you did, you thought you were doing great tapas. But you know what? Also my mercy. I allowed you. And finally, you think you have faith. We always say faith can only be from the heart. And faith can only be cultivated from the devotee. Nobody can give you faith. You have to develop it. But here Krishna throws that out of the window. He says even that faith is coming from me. It's my mercy. So factually speaking, do we realize now why Brahmaji is saying, let the Supreme Lord be merciful towards me? That's why. This is the significance of mercy. Brahmaji realizes without mercy of Krishna, nothing can happen. And Prabhu's, Mataji's, Krishna includes his devotees. That we should never forget. In the complete set of Krishna is included his devotees. That is why we always approach devotees and take their association for the mercy of the Lord. The Lord gives his mercy through all the devotees. Brahmaji was one, so he had to get it directly from Krishna. But Prabhupada is very kind. He has started a society. The Vaishnavas have started a society. So that's why we must take advantage of mercy of the devotees. How can you obtain mercy from the devotee whom you are criticizing? How do you hope to obtain mercy from the devotee whom you find fault with? Is it possible? Think about it. So we should be very careful the next time we see the person next to us We should remember the mercy is flowing from such devotees. And Prabhupada writes in the purport to 3938, voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. That means if you want mercy of the Lord, first volunteer for service. Don't be forced to do service. Don't wait. Quickly come. Prabhu, what service can I do? If you fight to do that service, it's transcendental fight. Huh? I mean, that kind of fight is all right. If you both are fighting, you know, to put garland on a speaker, okay, if it doesn't distract the audience, you can continue your fighting on the side. That's all right. But what I mean to say is the mood should be voluntary. It should not be you hide one corner, oh, temple president is walking around, he's trying to find somebody, maybe this is the time to go bathroom. This is the time to chant very deeply. You know, Maharaj said, whenever devotees don't want to talk to anyone, what do? They chant Gayatri. Very simple. Oh, Prabhu, I forgot my Gayatri, I have to chant. Give me about 20 minutes. Huh? By then, let him do his rounds and I'll get away. Voluntary. And then the other word Prabhupada uses is endeavor. We must endeavor. We must sweat. Prabhu's Mataji is, aren't we sweating? I mean, there's AC, but you're sweating now. But you're sweating for Krishna. The next time you do devotional service, please sweat. If you go to sleep at 12 midnight and you have to wake up at 4:30, sweat it out and wake up. What is the worst that will happen to you, Prabhus and Matajis? You will die. But if you die trying to do something for Krishna, that is real life. Isn't that true? Why to say, Prabhu, I need to conserve my energy so that later on I can wake up for Mangalarti? That is a crazy argument. It will never happen. Please, whenever we have the chance to do endeavor, do it. And do it voluntarily. And don't forget, Krishna also states about his mercy in Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Paurusham Vishu, right? This Paurusham is very important. Shabda ke Paurusham Vishu. Paurusham means ability. There you are, nothing to say. Krishna says, I am ability in man. So every time we can speak, every time we can do anything, any ability we have, is coming from whom? Krishna. And then later he says what? What is the other verse? Punyo Gandha Prithivyam Cha Tejas Chasmi Vibhav Vasau. Then Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu Tapas Chasmi Tapas Vishu. There also he is catching us. He's saying, I am the life of all that lives. I am the fragrance of the earth. You know how sometimes city people go to a cow farm and they smell the farm and they smell the cow dung and they say, my God, this is very smelly. But this is the fragrance of the earth. It's coming from Krishna. All your Polo and your other kinds of brands of perfume, that is not the fragrance of the earth. That's your own endeavor. And you are masking the real smell coming from you. But the fragrance of the earth is Krishna. And Krishna says, I am the tapas of those who perform tapas. So it is Krishna. It is Krishna. So this is mercy. Why am I putting so much emphasis on mercy? Because if you read the verse, he asked Krishna for mercy two times. Two times! In one verse. Please be merciful to me. Then he says something else. Then again he says, please be merciful to me. So it must be emphasized. The second point now that we must look at is Samastha Jagatam. You see the word Samastha Jagatam? Samastha Jagatam means maintainer of the universe. Krishna is not only Samastha Jagatam, but he is Sruhat Eka. Sruhat Eka. And Prabhupada writes, Krishna is the one friend and philosopher. You will see the word philosopher in the word-to-word translation. You will see the word soul in the translation. So why is Krishna a philosopher? Krishna is philosopher because he gives us the best philosophy. And what is the best philosophy? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That philosophy which distinguishes truth from illusion for the welfare of all, that is highest philosophy. And which scripture gives us that? Bhagavatam. Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastava Atravastu Shivadam Tapatrayan Mulanam Srimad Bhagavatam Mahamunikrite Kimva Parai Ishvaraha సద్యో హృద్య మరుద్దతే అత్ర కృతివిహి శుశ్రూభి తక్షణ. Without delay, one who takes up this process, what happens to him? He actually is able to receive that supreme absolute truth, free of the modes of material nature, free of the material miseries. Tapo trayan unmulana. Because Krishna gives you that which is real, and he throws away everything which is temporary. Except for Krishna, Prabhus and Matajis, everyone and everything in this world will deteriorate. That's why in one purport of the verse, Na Karinchin, that verse in third canto, Prabhupada writes, Krishna is your best friend. If you accept Krishna as your best friend, he will never cheat you. How nice. He will never cheat you. You've heard of that story, Gopal and the cowherd? You know, Gopal was the little boy, you know. His mother, they had no father. Father had died long time ago. And they were living in a forested hut. Very poor. Mother had to work. The day came when Gopal had to go to school. And she sent him to school. He had to cross through a forest. When he went in the morning, forest was nice. As he came back, forest was very dark. They had full day school those days. So when he came back, what happened was, when he came back home that day, mother asked, how was school? He said, I don't want to go to school anymore. So when mother asked why, he said, I'm too frightened. All other children have their own mothers and fathers coming, so they're not scared. Who do I have, mother? You are working. I go through the forest alone. That night, mother could not sleep. It really pained her to think that there was no one for them. Then she thought, what am I thinking? We have Krishna. He is Sruhat Eka. He is our well-wisher. Sruhat means friend and well-wisher. He will never mean ill for us. And he is one. Why do we need anyone else? So she turns to the beautiful deity of Gopal. And she says, Gopal, you are with us. You are everything to us. We don't want to rely on anyone or anything. You please take care of Gopal tomorrow morning. So in the morning, Gopal wakes up and says, I don't want to go to school, mother. And mother says, I have already called your brother. He will wait for you in the forest. Gopal said, all this time you never told me we had a brother. What's his name? Oh, his name is also Gopal. Really? Where does he stay? He stays in the forest. Mother, you never told me this. So how will I know? How to look? How does he look? She said, very simple. He's bluish in color. He has a nice flute. He's always surrounded by peacocks. He has a peacock feather in his head. And he always has cows around him. So how will I call him? Where to find him? When you are frightened, Gopal, you call out, Brother Gopal, please come. And he will come. So he said, all right. So the boy who was depressed last night became happy in the morning. And he left. And mother went to Gopal Deity and said, now I have invested everything in you. I have told my son only out of my firm faith in you. You take care of him. This is Sruhat Eka. And when he went, in the evening when he came back, it was getting dark, you know. So he says, Gopala, Brother Gopal, please come. And he heard the sound of the flute and the antler bells. And when he turned round in the corner of the forest, there was his brother Gopal, looking so beautiful that all miseries, anxieties and depressions left little Gopal. And Brother Gopal said, my dear brother, I brought some milk for you. I brought some curd for you. Let's play for a while before we go back. The mother waited anxiously. And finally, when Gopal came back, she asked him, how's your day? It was fine. He was laughing. She said, everything was all right? Yes. See, she had faith, but you know. She said, you mean you were not alone in the forest? I wasn't alone. You told me Brother Gopal was there. So he was there. She said, really? Yes, he was there. She said, what did he do? He played with you. What did he say? He said, you know, let's play. He gave me butter. He gave you butter. And that night, mother said, you have taught me so much about faith, Gopal. So like that, many days passed until one day came, you know, it was a school function day. And all the school children were asked to bring some food, you know. So Brother Gopal, little Gopal went back to mother and said, mother, give me some nice food to share with 40, 50 students. Mother said, we have nothing, hardly anything for you and me. How to share? They thought and thought and thought, and mother said, why are we worried? Krishna, Brother Gopal is there. You ask him tomorrow. She thought, leave it on his head. It's better. I'm working hard. I have faith in you, my Lord. You do it. So what happens? He goes to the forest. He says, Brother Gopal, I need some help. Brother Gopal says, what do you want? He said, I need some food. For how many people? 40, 50 people. He said, Gopal, I'm a cowherd boy. I have nothing to give you but a small bowl. It has a little bit of milk. Give it to your teacher. So they all line up. All the big pots are there. When it comes to little Gopal's turn, small pot. the teacher tries his best to hide his disappointment, but oh, okay, never mind, thank you. So he pours it into a bowl, puts it back. Few minutes later, it's full. He goes back to it, pours it, it's full. All the other preparations finish. Only one is sustaining the whole party, and there is this milk. And everyone is taking and taking and taking, and it's never ending. Finally, teacher says, "Gopal, come here. Who gave you this?" And Gopal said, "It's my brother." "What's his name?" "His name is also Gopal." "Where does he stay?" "In the forest." "How does he look like, Gopal?" "Oh, he has beautiful bluish features. He has a flute. He has cows. He has peacocks. And he has a peacock feather in his hair. And he's always happy and smiling." So then the teacher said, "Gopal, there's a time to joke and there's a time to be serious. Now tell me, who gave you this?" And Gopal started crying and said, "It is really Brother Gopal. Come to the forest, you will see him." So he went with him. And they call and call and call deep in the forest. But Brother Gopal never came. And little Gopal started crying and said, "Brother Gopal, you must come, otherwise teacher won't believe me." And then they both heard a very loud voice, booming voice, transcendental vibration. And then Krishna as Gopal said, "My dear Gopal, to those who have firm faith in me, to those who persevere to always remember me, to those who are always controlling their objective of only seeing me and nothing else, to them I am manifest. But to those who don't have that faith in me, to those who speculate, to those who are just trying by the dint of their own endeavor to understand who I am, to them I cannot be seen." And at that point, the headmaster realized the greatness of devotional service of this little boy. This is Sruhat 8. This is the greatness of Krishna. And that is why Krishna maintains everyone. That's why Prabhu's Matajis, every day we should wake up knowing who is maintaining us. Your income is not maintaining your family. Krishna is maintaining your family. Income is for your false ego. "Oh, I have this money. I'm buying this, investing that. Everything is okay." And one day everything goes. Source of income is not the source of maintenance. And that is Krishna. So there is Samasta Jagatam and there is Sruhat Eka. And now we come to the last point. If you look at the verse in the third line, you find there is this beautiful two words. There is the word known as Drisham, power of introspection. And then there is Anu Sprishyatat, let him give. Brahmaji is concluding his prayer by saying, he says, "Krishna, please be merciful towards me. You are the one friend. You are the soul of all living entities. You are in the heart of everyone. You are the only person whom we should be actually dependent on. No one else. So we are with Krishna and nobody else." Then he says, "Satvena yan mridayate bhagavan bhagena." Second line. What is bhagena? Bhagena means opulences. What are the six opulences of Krishna? Can we shoot them off? One, beauty. Second, sorry, wealth. Krishna is the most beautiful person in the world. No need for any plastic surgery. No need for all your cosmetics. Krishna's skin is always the same. Yours and mine are never the same. Krishna is forever wealthy and full wealth. Full wealth. He has everything. Third, yeah, strength. His strength is so strong that it is inconceivable. What is the fourth one? Fame. Nobody is as famous as Krishna. When I say famous, even the demons know Krishna. In fact, the demons have special relationship with Krishna. They have express service straight to Krishna to fight with him. That's how famous he is. What is the fifth one? Knowledge. Yes. Krishna has full knowledge. That is why we turn to Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is Krishna. Don't treat Bhagavatam as a book. Bhagavatam is Krishna. As long as you see book Bhagavatam as book, we will never know who Krishna is. But if we treat Bhagavatam as Krishna, then we will really feel the presence of Krishna. And the last is renunciation. And this renunciation is the domain and monopoly in this verse of Brahmaji. Such great renunciation. And that is coming from the opulence, bhagena, of Krishna. So Krishna is saying here that it is through, no, Brahmaji is saying that Krishna gives his six opulences to the devotees in the form of happiness. Mridayate. He is giving his six opulences by happiness. If you have any of this opulence, even in minute quantity, how do you feel? Happy. So that happiness is coming from where? That fraction of opulence. Who has the opulence? Krishna. See the line? That's the meaning. It is Krishna. But do you know, Prabhus and Matajis, if you read the 9th canto, 4th chapter, around 68 or 67th verse, Krishna says there to Durvasa Muni that the devotees of mine are so dear to me that I do not want to enjoy my own transcendental opulences separate from them. Only if I am in Sadhu Sangha do I want to enjoy my transcendental opulences. This is the mercy of Krishna. So the transcendental opulences of the Lord is not in some corner of the spiritual world. It is available to us through the process of devotional service. And the last point is the third verse, Drisham, power of introspection. Introspection is defined how? By looking inward. When you introspect, it means you examine your own heart. That's what it means. This is, you'll never find any prayer in Bhagavatam where a devotee says, please give me the, let me be empowered with the introspection to create. Just creating, Brahmaji was not bothered. Because it's like doing work, you know. If you do work in a cursory manner, you just do it to finish the work. But Brahmaji wanted to offer it to Krishna. So he wanted it to be done with devotion. And if you want to do something with devotion, you introspect. You must understand your objective. Isn't it true? In any field of activity, if you want to succeed, the man who succeeds is one who knows the objective of the assignment. Not because he has to just do the assignment, but he knows the objective. That's why my Guru Maharaj always told me, Devaki, be clear about your existence. Be clear about the purpose of your existence. Please know why you are here. If you know why you are here, then you will know how to behave yourself. Be clear. And that's what he's asking. Please give me the introspection to create. And that's our mood. We do not look outward. We look inward. Whenever there is any trouble coming from devotees or circumstances or even other living entities, we don't blame. We don't go outward and say, this circumstance was the reason, that circumstance is the reason, this is the reason, that is the reason. No. All that is a waste of time. That time you spend thinking, who is at fault here? You could have done Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The time you took to lament, oh, this devotee has done that to me, you could have learned one shloka from Bhagavad Gita. Which is better? The lamenting or the learning of the shloka? Yeah, it's the learning of the shloka. That's why Maharaj always said that we should have no time to criticize. You need time to do two things in the world. You need time to criticize people, and you also need time to fall sick. If you arrange your life in such a way that you don't have time, then you won't fall sick. Even if you fall sick, you'll endure it. And even if there are problems in life, you will ignore it. And instead, you will bury your head in Bhagavatam. And you will make good Sadhu Sangha. So introspection is very important in devotional service. Every day we should introspect. Am I doing my sadhana nicely for the pleasure of Krishna? Have I taken up some nice service for the pleasure of the devotees? What is the purpose of me coming to sit here for Bhagavatam? Is it because if I'm not here, Nam Sangeeta Prabhu will be offended? Or is it because I'm here to hear Bhagavatam and to glorify Nam Sangeeta Prabhu? Two different things, huh? Two different things. Of course, if you're here only for prasadam, that's still transcendental. That's all right. So, devotees, when we introspect, you'll find one other thing that's important. Your Vaishnava relationships improve. They improve. The relationship with your wives, your children, your friends, your colleagues, your bosses, they all improve because of introspection. They do. Because you stop finding fault with others. And you accept that which comes to you as that which you deserve. Brahmaji never complained to Krishna in his prayers. Otherwise Krishna would have gone. Haribol. Brahmaji glorified Krishna after suffering like mad. That's why Krishna came. Don't forget that. And this greatness is what we must take back with us. So remember, Brahmaji was alone. But because he had devotional service in Bhagavatam, he was not alone. There's a difference between being alone in devotional service and being lonely in devotional service. There's a difference. Okay? Just remember, being alone in devotional service is not bad. It doesn't mean we don't get sadhu sangha, but we are not intimate. Intimacy with devotees should be avoided, because intimacy equals to material energy. You will mix politics, you will mix family. Prabhu, we go for this outing, that outing. In the outing, we'll become friends. One day, one big misunderstanding will come and that's it. Two close, friendly, devotee-like families will become big Kurukshetra. From one dham to another, Vrindavan dham to Kurukshetra dham. Both are dhams, but we don't want Kurukshetra. We want Vrindavan. Instead, our friendship should be bodhayantaha parasparam. We should always enlighten one another on Krishna and converse about Krishna. To that extent, we are close. Nothing more. That is peace. So don't confuse loneliness with being alone. Just like that famous point. Do you all remember? Prabhupada made this famous joke. He looked at two devotees. One was working very hard and the other one was not working at all. Once in a while. So devotees came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, what is this? This devotee works hard, that devotee doesn't work. Prabhupada said, oh, this one is very hard working, that one is hardly working. One is hard working, one is hardly working. But Prabhupada, that is the vision of an Acharya. So don't take these things too seriously. And you become peaceful in devotional service. So the conclusion to this verse is very nice. The conclusion to the verse is that this verse is the starting point of Brahmaji's ending of prayers. This is the first of the last four verses. When you have time, Prabhu's Matajis, look at the last four verses before Krishna speaks. Because Brahmaji is going to ask four things from Krishna that we should today ask from Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. The first thing he is asking now is, please give me the introspection to create. The second thing he will ask after that is that, please pray for me that I will not be materially affected by my work. What a nice point. That when we are in the hospital, when we are in the court, we pray that we will not be materially affected by our work, so much so that we give up the false prestige of being the creator. What a nice point. Brahmaji says, please help me to give up the false prestige of being creator. Even though he is going to be creator, he says, please Krishna, please let me not be materially affected. Let me not have this false prestige. Second, the third point that's really nice. He says, I pray that whatever material activities that I do, do not deviate me. Deviate, that I will not be deviated from the vibrations of the Vedic hymns. That never I go away from the vibrations of the Vedic hymns. What are the vibrations of the Vedic hymns? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That's vibrations. Now if you talk about hymns, to be specific, what are hymns? Hymns are shlokas. Where do we find shlokas? Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So what Brahmaji is saying, let me never move away from Bhagavatam. And let me never be deviated from Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you have spoken, let it always be in my heart. Third point. And the last point that's really nice. After all this, he's asking for something a little bit personal. He says, I just pray that you will always smile at me. Please smile at me. What a nice prayer. He says, please smile at me and give me your benediction by opening your lotus eyes always upon me. Jai Grantharaj Sriman Bhagavatam ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Srila Gurudev ki. Ananda Gauri Vaishnavinda ki.
Jai.
Nitai Gaur Premananda. Is there any realizations or any nice points that Prabhu's Matajis would like to bring up? We can take one and then we can chant Krishna's names. Anything? Yes, Prabhu. It is in the last line of 3929.
Or 3938.
1 minute, Prabhuji. Yes, it's in the last line of 3rd canto, 9th chapter, 38th verse. Voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection, full stop. Then he ends by saying, Material acquisitions of wealth or education are not considered. Full stop. Sounds like an advertisement for a job, isn't it? It does, you know. It's like, you know, calling. Who wants to qualify? Voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. Material acquisitions of wealth or education, not considered. That's why Prabhu's Mataji is, please read and reread and reread the purports of Prabhupada. The more you read, the more they become visible. They are like invisible ink, you know. At the starting point, they just look like words. You read a bit more, hey, they make more sense. You read one more time, my God, they make a lot of sense. By the last point, oh, this is the way to live. But you must read and reread and reread. Now, if you're reading and studying Bhagavatam, what will you not have time for? No criticisms. You won't have time for what, Prabhu? No lamentation. No falsity. No prajalpa. Exactly. No prasadam also. We'll stop there. Anything else? Otherwise, shall we chant Krishna's name? Satyata Prabhu.